a surprise to me. Hey, listen, I know it doesn't feel like it because it's like 90 whatever degrees outside, but we are in fall. We had a little teaser a couple weeks ago when the weather changed for a brief season, and that was awesome. I'm really not enjoying this 90 degree weather. Anybody else ready for like the cooler temperatures? It would be awesome if we could get that back, but we are in a season of fall. Of course, fall when the seasons change. It just feels like time for something new. And so we we as a church, we typically like to plan things around the changing of the seasons because everybody's in that mode of change. And one of the things that we have coming up this Wednesday, like we just talked about, is our new groups. And I think groups are one of the most important things that we do here at the church. And so because of that, I want to talk just a little bit this morning about our groups. And again, Pastor Dennis, if you're new here today, Pastor Dennis would normally be speaking, and because he's on the road, I have the opportunity to share with you this morning. But this morning, I do want to talk to you again about groups, because here's one of the things that we say about our groups all the time. Life is better when we're connected. Everybody say that with me. Say, life is better when we're connected. We believe that here. Life is better when we're connected, and I think that the more and more we continue to become aware of this, the more and more we will settle into God's full plan for our lives when we connect with others and we connect with God's desire for our life. Our world is more connected than ever before, and yet less connected than ever before in at the same time. I think we are more connected digitally. You know, we can, at any moment, we can pull our phones out and be connected with the other side of the world instantly. We have access to connection in that way more than any other point in history. Things are immediate. Our connection does not take long at all. It's not like the old days where you had to wait for things. Connection happens at the press of a button these days. And yet at the same time, all of that access to digital connection has led to a place where we are socially less connected than ever before. People isolate, they go, they do their own things. You probably witnessed this in public a lot of times where you maybe intend to speak to somebody, but they've got their headphones or their AirPods in, and they are in their own world completely. They are listening to something. They are, connected somehow digitally to something that's going on that you are not a part of. You know, you are physically close to them in proximity, but you are completely disconnected from them. That's the world we live in. We live in a very disconnected world, and all this isolation is leading to so many problems. When you begin to look around at studies about the disconnection, it's very, very evident that this is leading to lots of problems in our culture these days. The disconnection, the lack of human interaction that we have, even though at times it can be convenient, and sometimes you hope that you don't have to interact with another person, it leads to problems. At the end of the day, we were designed to be connected with other people. We were designed to do life together. We were designed to have relationship. And this separation is causing all kinds of problems. I read several different studies this week, and here are some of the results of some of this disconnection that's taking place. There's a higher degree of loneliness than ever before in our world. You can be with other people and lonely at the same time. There are higher rates of depression. People's sleep habits and their patterns are worse than ever before, so higher levels. And these next several are going to make me sound really smart, but I promise you that's not the case. Impaired executive function is decreasing, which basically means like job performance. Accelerated cognitive decline, basically meaning your brain function is when you were disconnected, is not functioning at the same rate that it used to be. Poor cardiovascular function. There's impaired immunity when you isolate. And even to the point, which we all know this is true, but the studies even prove it, that there's an increased risk of premature death. In other words, if you lack relationship, you lack connection, it's very possible that your years on this planet will be shortened. Brittany and I watched a documentary a few years ago, or maybe sometime more recent than that, but it was a documentary about different populations of the world that have a higher concentration of people over the age of 100. One of the things that each of these communities around the world that they shared was this idea of community and doing life together. And it just proved the fact that when you are in relationship with others, when you are functioning in community, it has so many positive benefits to your life that it can even lengthen the number of years that you have to be here on this planet, which I know we all want to get to heaven, right? That's, for many Christians, that's our goal. But why not make the most of the time that God has given us here on this earth as well? So I think that it's evident when we look at all these studies that we need connection, we need relationship, and groups are one of the best ways to do that. But there are often so many different obstacles that stand in our way. And let's just narrow it down, not just society-wise, but just as a church, there are obstacles that often get in the way of us being connected and being in groups. Sometimes the size of our church can play a part in that. And I know that there are much bigger churches out there. We're not a mega church, but you know, when you have hundreds of people here gathering each week, and sometimes it can be difficult when you're new or you're not necessarily on the inside, if you want to call it that. It can be difficult to find out where you fit in that group of hundreds of people. So the size of the church can make a difference. Only attending on Sundays is an enormous obstacle. I know that for many of us, we do come here on Sundays and we gather, and that seems like a good start, and it is. I'm glad that you're here. I'm really glad that you're here. But this format, we're going to talk a little bit more about this later in the service, but this format is not conducive to growing in your connection with others in the same way that a group is conducive to that. You're seated in rows, you're facing forward, you're not looking other people in the eye, you're looking at me and listening to me. If you're not doing that, you're encouraged to be quiet, not to talk and to interact. There's maybe, if you're lucky, there's a couple of minutes before you rush in here on Sundays that you have in the lobby, or maybe a couple of minutes afterwards, but let's be honest, I mean, most of us, we've got places to go, we've got things to do, and so that time is minimal as well. So when we only attend on Sundays, that becomes an obstacle to our ability to connect with others. Our busy schedules are an obstacle. All of us are busy. It's not just young families anymore. It's not just, you know, families with this amount of children. Everybody is busy. There's always something in this culture these days competing for your schedule and for your time and your attention. Life is busy. Our family calendars are busy. We are overwhelmed with activity. And all of these things serve as obstacles to our ability to connect. Now, we've talked a little bit this morning as pastors. And I'll just tell you this as well. I often, as a pastor, I have people coming to me and saying, I just don't feel like I connect here at this church. Or I just don't feel like I have connected. I don't feel like I have friends, or like I can't find my place where I fit. And I understand where you're coming from. My first question is always this: are you in a group? Have you joined a group? My second question is, are you serving? Are you a part of a team? Most of the time, I would almost say all of the time, the question or the answer to that question is no, I'm not. I've never joined a group. I think that becomes a major obstacle for us. And the reason is we have a system. We have a way for you to get connected and to develop and strengthen your relationships with one another. But like the old saying goes, and you all know this, you could probably say it along with me, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him right. So since we're talking about horses, did you know that horses at one point were a mode of transportation? Thanks for that courtesy laugh there, by the way. That was great. You can do better than that next time. It's okay to laugh. I know my jokes are actually really funny. My family doesn't think so, but since we're talking about horses, horses at one point were a mode of transportation. There are lots of modes of transportation. If you want to get from here to California, wherever that is, that way, I guess. If you want to get from here to California, there are lots of ways to get there. You could take a bike. You could take a horse, again, since we're talking about that. You could walk to California if you wanted. You could take the train. You could probably catch an airplane as well. Each of these modes of transportation, no matter how you choose, they will get you there eventually. But some of them are more efficient, some of them are faster, they're more direct ways of getting to your destination. Some of them are so difficult and involve so much work on your part, you may never get there. You might give up long before you reach your destination, but there are ways that you can easily accomplish your goal. And I think for all of us, it's important to recognize that. Some ways are faster, some ways are just better. For instance, if you were going to take a plane, I know that it's work to kind of set up a flight and to get there and all that stuff, but once you do that, you kind of just sit there and let the process unfold, right? They will fly you. They will get you there quicker than you could make it any other way that we've mentioned this morning. And that's the way groups are in terms of providing relationship and connection for you here at this church. Groups are the most direct, the most efficient way of providing connection here at this church. Now, don't follow the analogy all the way through. I know that it kind of breaks down some, but the thing is, we have a system in place for you. We didn't reinvent the wheel either. Like, groups are not a new thing here at Crown Point Church. You can go to lots of churches and find this, and the reality is, all those other churches didn't invent it either. There is a model that was already set up and put in place, and it works, and that's why people continue to do it. Relation is a key part of that entire model. And so this morning, what I want us to do, I want us to look very briefly. I know I have a reputation for being long-winded, but I'm not going to be long-winded this morning, I promise. I'll get you out of here at some point today. We're going to look briefly at Acts chapter 2, and in this passage, if you look kind of toward the end of the chapter, what we are seeing is a brief description of what's happening in the early church. These are the days right after, at the end of the book of Luke, at the end of the book of Luke, Christ ascends into heaven, and he kind of gives his parting speech to all of the disciples at that point. And he's kind of saying, hey, look, here's what I want you to do. Look, we talked about this stuff. You know what to do at this point, but I got to go away. And so now that I'm leaving, here's your instruction. And so the disciples continue to gather. They eventually, they experience the day of Pentecost. And then the early church begins to take shape and form, which is where we pick up at the end of Acts chapter 2. Here's a description of what's taking place at that point. Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says this. They, the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the mighty wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property, their possessions, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let you into my mind a little bit. I'm always working off of, in my mind, it's always like illustrations and visual pictures and things like that. And when I read this text, I immediately started thinking about the idea of connecting. That's what we're talking about, connecting. But I noticed that at the beginning of this passage, there's four things that the disciples focused on. And naturally, my mind goes to the most important thing here. Do you remember that old game, Connect Four? Anybody remember that game? I think we have a picture of it if you don't remember. Connect Four. So when I was a kid, this was a popular game, not because it's like wildly strategic or anything like that. It's just a simple game. Most people can join in and kind of have a quick game. And it says ages 7 and up for 2 players, but anybody can play, okay? It's kind of like an all skate type of thing. Connect Four was a popular game. And if you remember the object of the game, you had these vertical slots and you had a checker piece that you would drop into places. Your opponent had a different color. And your goal was to line up four game pieces in a row. They could be vertical, they could be diagonal, they could be horizontal. But along the way, the trick is this. You were trying to either beat or outsmart your opponent, because as you were putting your game pieces in place, they would insert their game pieces. And sometimes you'd get some momentum, you'd get two or three in a row, and then they would drop their piece in. And now all of a sudden, whatever momentum you had was kind of lost. And so you had to rethink your strategy. But for most of us, what do? Like if you get two in a row and they drop theirs in, what do? You just throw your hands in the air and give up? Do you knock the board off the table and say, I quit? Do you get mad at them? What do you do? No, you continue on. And if you're persistent enough, eventually you're going to get four in a row and you win the game. You connect four. You connect all four. That's kind of like what the church was doing here. They were connecting all of these different pieces that they needed to connect in order to have success, in order to win at this game of doing church and doing life. And I love how the text starts out. It says this way. It says, they devoted themselves. And the word devoted here is what is so important in this passage. They devoted themselves. It's important to understand here. It describes their posture. They were devoted to these things, these four things. They were devoted to the teaching. They were devoted to gathering, to breaking bread. They were devoting themselves to prayer. It doesn't mean that they were just kind of in when it worked. It doesn't mean if they had too many fish to catch for the day that they just kind of put a pause on their work. It didn't mean that they came just on, you know, maybe their important holidays like Christmas and Easter. It didn't mean that you know, when it was convenient for the family, they might make the effort to get here. No, they devoted themselves. I don't get the impression here at all, based on this text and this description, that there was any arm twisting taking place. They devoted themselves. They made the conscious decision to be involved and to connect with what was happening. Devotion is an interesting word. And I think that it's very important for us to understand the type of commitment that they had here. The Oxford, since you asked, the Oxford definition for devotion is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Now, enthusiasm, because that's one of the words that are in there. Enthusiasm is one of those things, it's kind of easy for a season or for a short time to have enthusiasm, right? It's easy to be enthusiastic for a short time, or it may be just the right time. Right now, for instance, if you live here in Kansas City, it's kind of easy to be enthusiastic about the Chiefs. I see a lot of you wearing your gear today. Now's a good time to be enthusiastic about our Chiefs, right? We've got some of the best players ever to play the sport. We've had winning seasons. We've had Super Bowl championships. We've had a long run of success. And so the enthusiasm for the team and for their victories and for joining in with our city is not hard to muster up. We're enthusiastic, okay? But I think that for anybody, and some of you remember back to the days when there was a children's pastor here named John Beckett, and he was one of those longtime Kansas City guys, grew up, born and raised here. And he used to criticize those of us like myself who moved to Kansas City later in life and became fans. He used to criticize us like we weren't real fans, right? Because a guy like John Beckett was a fan back in the day, like from 1972 to 1984 or 1985, when for 14 seasons straight, the Chiefs did not have a single postseason appearance. That's a long drought. That's not a very exciting time to go sit in Arrowhead and cheer for your team. Or more recently, between the seasons of 2007 to 2012, which is highly regarded as one of the worst teams of all time, and then 2012 being one of the worst records of all time, a lot of people thought the Chiefs were like the worst team that ever could be. It's the worst in franchise history. They're just terrible people. And yet at the same time, there were people there cheering on their team. They were devoted fans, right? It's not the same atmosphere that you get now when you go to Arrowhead and people are winning time and time, where our team is winning time and time again. They were devoted fans in those seasons. It wasn't easy to cheer. It's not like they were joining in all this success. They were devoted to their team regardless of whether the stakes were high or low. They were devoted to their team whether there was success at the end of the game or not. Most of the time there was not. But they were devoted. They chose that. Devotion is this. It's a deep commitment and a willingness to follow. Again, they devoted themselves is what the text says. Nobody was forcing them. It was a willful commitment to follow along and join in on God's plan for his early church. They didn't have to be begged and pleaded with in their announcement reel. They didn't have to hear the great need every event for them to step up and to serve and to be involved. They just did it. They were a part of what God was doing. They joined in on the work of the church. They devoted themselves. We all understand this concept of devotion because the reality is we're all devoted to something. We're devoted to something, maybe even a few things. And if you don't know what it is that you're really devoted to, I would say this morning, look at your calendar and look at your checkbook and you can find out what you're devoted to. Where do you spend your time and where do you spend your money? That's a really good place to start. Those are great indicators of your devotion. What do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as the guy who invested all of his time in sports? The guy who never made it to church because his team was playing? Or the guy who always took his kids to go play sports instead of coming to church? Do you want to be the guy or the lady who is always so focused on your career and on building a career that you never make time to worship together with your church family? Do you want to be known as the guy who was so wrapped up in his hobbies that he never made time for connecting with his church family? Or the guy who was constantly focused on relaxation or his me time, the guy who's always going and getting his nails done? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. I don't think there's anything wrong with a lot of those things. Matter of fact, I like to do some of these things. My nails look pretty good this morning, actually. But I should clarify, I do not do my nails. They fall off as I'm working really hard in the garage. They just naturally shed because I'm such a hard worker. That's me. I'm not telling you don't be involved in sports. I'm not telling you don't have your kids involved in sports. I'm not telling you don't have a hobby or don't work hard to advance in your career. But the truth is that when we escalate those things higher than our devotion to God, we just reorder it. We have a new God. We are no longer serving God. We're no longer serving the Lord. We are serving ourselves. We're serving a sports schedule. We're serving our hobbies. We're serving a career. And at the end of your life, when all is said and done, what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known for your devotion to the Lord, or do you want to be known for your devotion to Little League sports? What's it going to be? It's your choice. You decide. But I'm telling you, the early church in Acts 2 says they devoted themselves. They made the decision to be devoted to what God had called them to do. They devoted themselves, again, to the apostles' teaching, which is the preaching of the word. They came together and they continued to teach the things that Christ had taught them. They continued to tell the stories, the parables, the things that he taught them while he was here on earth. They were devoted to those things. They were devoted to fellowship. Notice that the text, as it's giving a description, it talks about them being together day and night. They were constantly doing life together, spending time together, sharing resources, sharing for whoever had need. They devoted themselves to these things. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, which has a double meaning here. Of course, the breaking of bread, it does refer to the Lord's Supper, like communion, which we take here regularly, but it also just takes, it applies to this idea of doing meals together, sharing in fellowship and in meals together. There's something about breaking bread together that brings us closer. If you've ever experienced a meal with someone else, you know the connection that can form as you do that, as you share that experience. And they were devoted to prayer. Prayer, in this case, has a lot of deeper meanings, but ultimately, what I want you to understand is that this type of prayer, it's this submission to God's will and God's authority in their lives. They were basically making themselves subject to his lordship, and they were seeking his plan for their life and for their future and for his church. They were devoted to prayer and to seeking the Lord together. This honestly sounds a lot more like groups to me and less like this gathering right here. Again, there are benefits to this one, and I don't ever want to discourage you from attending a Sunday, but again, this is not as conducive to doing life together as the concept of groups. One pastor put it this way. He said, life is better in circles, not in rows. Again, you don't have the opportunity to interact with the other people here in your row this morning. You got to be quiet. If somebody makes a noise, it's noticeable, right? If somebody says something out loud, it's noticeable. If somebody coughs, it's noticeable, right? Stop it. We want you to come in here and hear the teaching, hear the word, but when you are really focused on doing life and building relationships, you need a different environment. You need to be in a group. You need to sit in a circle with people and hear their heart and join hands and pray together to hear the word, but then allow that word to mold and shape and form you and build those relationships so that you can do life together. I want to encourage you. Yes, continue to be here on Sundays. Don't skip out on Sundays. There is so much value in us coming here and hearing and learning from Pastor Dennis as he teaches the word week after week. There's value in when we come together and we worship as a body of Christ. There's value in that. But there's also value, and it's different when we join in groups. I want to encourage you, make Sundays a priority, make groups a priority as well. Don't miss out on that blessing for your life. Here's what the text goes on to say. Again, this is a description of what was happening. Verse 44 of that second chapter. Again, Acts 2:44, it says this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property, their possessions. They gave to anyone who had need. That's a pretty selfless way of living. That's a, I love you. You are important. You are valuable to this group. That's an others first type of mentality. Every day they continued to meet together. Every day, not just on Sundays. That's 52 times a year. They came together every day. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Imagine if we devoted ourselves in this way, if we were devoted to this type of living, just think of what that would be like. I know our culture does not lend itself to this type of commitment. It'd be really difficult for us these days to keep this kind of schedule of gathering with our people day after day after day, giving this type of time. But just imagine for a moment. Could you do that? Could you just imagine what it would be like if we had those types of connections? Think of what it would be like if we could have this type of devotion, if we behaved in this way, if our faith, if our devotion, If it was this deep, it would be so contagious. It would be so contagious. And here's what we see as the result of that. I read it earlier, but I want to read this again to you. The conclusion of this passage, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The result of obedience, the result of Christ-like living in community with brothers and sisters in the faith is multiplication. It's bound to happen because the world doesn't live this way. The world doesn't live in such a selfless way where they're devoted to one another. This is contagious, and the world would be such a different and a better place if we could commit ourselves to this type of stuff. The natural outcome is growth. Wouldn't you love to see that? Wouldn't you love to see this church radically different, changed by the love of Christ? Wouldn't you love it if this place was so full that we could not contain the crowds? Because people just wanted to be here and experience and see it for themselves what God was doing. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't you love it if people were so drawn to this place that you had to find a new place to sit because somebody was in your seat? Wouldn't you love it if we couldn't even afford to buy donuts for everybody because there were so many people coming to eat our stuff? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be awesome if the crowds were just too big that we couldn't even accommodate because our faith was so evident to the world that they were just drawn into that type of connection and community? I know I threw out some things that actually probably sound uncomfortable, right? Like, yes, I love that, but my seat, come on. I mean, hey, this is where I sit, right? My donuts, I get one of those donuts every Sunday. How many of you like the donuts? We're glad you like the donuts. But wouldn't it be awesome if there were so many new people here that we couldn't possibly feed all of you and we had to have a loaves and fishes kind of moment to provide for everyone? That would be amazing. And I think, honestly, I think the way that it happens is by us being obedient to what God wants to do in and through us. We're just faithful to those things. And then notice, again, what the passage says. Who added to their number? The Lord added to their number. Daily, those who were being saved. We just do what Scripture calls us to do. We devote ourselves to these things. It's simple. Devote ourselves to being here and being involved in all that God has for you and for your life. It's the preaching of the word. It's being devoted to this concept of fellowship and to breaking bread and to be in constant prayer and submission to the Lord. It all starts with us going all in for these things, all in to these things. And again, like we talked about at the beginning of this whole thing, we have a system in place for you to connect in this way. I can't make you participate in groups. I can't make you join a team. And we do try really hard to inspire you to do those things. We try to teach about it. We try to talk about the importance of it. We try to provide opportunity for you to do that. We beg and plead week after week through announcements and messages and all of these things to try to get you to do that. But again, it's got to be your choice because like the disciples, they devoted themselves. You must devote yourself. But we have a system. If you would love to join us in that, we would love to have you. Again, I want to remind you that this Wednesday, we start a brand new set of groups. There's groups that meet here on this campus at 7 o'clock, and we join together in circles, not in rows. We join with other believers face to face. We hear the word, we discuss it, we do life together, and those connections will serve as ways to get you through this life with more success, more grace in your life than if you were doing life alone. I promise you it's true. So for each of you, I don't want to see you next Sunday. I want to see you Wednesday, right? When we start groups at 7 o'clock. We have a lot of groups that are set up. And if you're interested in any of those, we have midweek groups that start at 7 p.m. And here's one thing that I want to ask you just logistically. If you plan to join us because you're so inspired by this word and you're like, man, I had plans, but they're all gone now because that guy, he convinced me. Okay, if that's you this morning, if you're like, I'm going to be there now, we want you to register. You can go to crownpointchurch.com/groups and register this week. Let us know that you're coming. That way we know how to plan. We know how to prepare for all this stuff. You can see the groups that are offered. You can sign up for one of those that fits your needs. And we want to help you grow in your faith in this way. We have Emerge Youth Church. If you're a student, we would love to see you there. You can join in your faith in that way. We have Crown Point Kids, which is taking place. And let me just throw this in there. We've got Pastor Connor and we've got Pastor Nick, and they are doing a phenomenal job already. We are excited. Obviously, we know and love Nick already, and he's getting all bashful down here already. But we know Nick, and most of you know Connor. They are so committed to what God is doing right now in this season of ministry here. And I promise you, if you will get your kids here, whether they're youth age or they are kids' kids, they will be in good hands midweek. You can check them in to kids' services, to youth services, and you can join us adults in a group. Okay, don't drop them off and then just hang out there on the couches. You're gonna miss out, I promise. Same thing on a Sunday. Don't drop your kids off over there and then sit in the lobby. I know the donuts are good. I know the whatever. It's easy to sit out there and just enjoy your time. But jump into what God has. Go all in your devotion to the Lord, and let's see together what God can do. This isn't some emotional plea at the end of this. I'm not gonna like try to move you into some point of tears or anything like that. This is a, hey, look, you know what you need to do. Go do it. I trust you to do that, okay? We've heard the word. We've experienced God's presence together today. The goal is for us to now go and do life the way that we know we're supposed to do it. Would you stand with me? I wanna pray, and then I'm gonna turn you loose. Look at that. Probably my shortest sermon ever. If for no other reason, I hope you think that was awesome. It was a short one. God, thanks so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity to connect with you and to connect with your people. Lord, our people. God, we're so thankful to do life together. And Lord, I pray blessings on every home that's represented. Lord, every marriage, every family, Lord, between parent, child, Lord, every friendship, every relationship in this building. Lord, may you continue to grow and develop them, Lord, and lead us closer to you as we continue to connect with each other and grow closer together. God, I pray for the future of this church, God, that you would just continue to guide and direct us. And Lord, help us to be more effective. When we come here, I pray, God, that it would just be an opportunity for us to be filled with hope, and that we would carry that hope and that light, like we talked about earlier, into our world, God, so that the light of your love, of your son, Jesus, would just penetrate this dark world. God, use us, help us, go with us now in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Love you. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you Wednesday at 7 p.m.